Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2221 with a release date of Friday, May 22nd, 2020 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. U.S. hams plan for Atlantic hurricane season. In India, radio operators brace for monsoons, and amateurs in Florida prep for a historic space launch. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2221 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We begin this week's newscast with two cautionary words, get ready. With the Atlantic hurricane season set to start on June 1st, amateurs are keeping in mind the outlook recently released by the National Hurricane Center. Christian Kudnick, K0STH, has that story.
The National Hurricane Center predicts a storm season that will be 140% more active than average and is encouraging hams to prepare now. The NHC is having its annual station test on Saturday, May 30th from 1300 to 2100 UTC. This year is expected to be particularly challenging with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, causing additional complications in logistics. Local emergency management agencies and the federal government have already issued guidelines for social distancing and face masks at hurricane shelters. Meanwhile, NHC station WX4NHC will be on the air during the annual station test. Julio Rapol, WD4R, the NHC's assistant amateur radio coordinator, said in a news release that any station in any location is encouraged to check in during the exercise for a brief contact, exchanging weather conditions and signal reports. The operation will be on HF, VHF, UHF, APRS, and Windlink, with WX4NHC focusing on the Hurricane Watch Net frequencies of 14.325 MHz and 7.268 MHz. The station will also operate on the VOIP Hurricane Net between 2000 and 2100 UTC. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
Storm season is rolling in as well in India, where amateurs already have a strategy in place. Here's John Williams, VK4JJW, with those details.
As monsoon season approaches in the Indian state of Kerala, amateur radio operators have begun to prepare for emergencies that may follow. They're establishing stations near major dams, which officials have highlighted as a particular need since communication channels between the dams were broken when the state suffered devastating floods in 2018. That year, after the dams were breached, authorities were challenged in their attempts to reinstate the dam's operations. Subramanian Shastri, VU2NSL, director of the Institute of Amateur Radio in Kerala, told the New Indian Express website that operators were not only undergoing preparedness drills, but working to ensure that they follow COVID-19 precautions at the same time. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
On Florida's Space Coast, a small group of hams who are also space enthusiasts are preparing for a historic liftoff of U.S. astronauts on May 27th. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has that report.
For radio operators who are part of the Launch Information Service and Amateur Television System, also known as LISATS, the countdown never ends. Using a repeater with a wide coverage area, the operators have been retransmitting launch countdown audio to listeners within 40 miles of Kennedy's Space Center for decades. According to Joe Dolinsky, W0WD, LISATS members operating 12 miles from the Space Center receive feeds via a phone server or a telebridge. He said that being able to provide the transmissions, quote, add to the excitement of the launch, end quote. The Brevard County, Florida group is best known for its coverage of launches by NASA, as well as providers such as United Launch Alliance and SpaceX, which has been sending Starlink satellites to join its ever-growing broadband internet constellation. Now, LISATS is counting down to a big moment in history, the scheduled liftoff on May 27th of NASA astronauts headed to the International Space Station. It's the first launch of U.S. astronauts from American soil since the end of the Space Shuttle program He said the nearby Kennedy Space Center Amateur Radio Club will also be transmitting countdown audio for this launch of the SpaceX first manned flight to the ISS. For listeners outside the range of the Florida repeater, LISATS also provides audio on Echolink at WB4ATV-R. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Meanwhile, on Sunday, May 17th, the LISATS hams retransmitted the countdown for liftoff of a satellite carrying an important microwave beam experiment. That experiment was headed up by, you guessed it, an amateur radio operator. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, spoke to him.
What if you could collect all of the solar energy available before it filters down through the clouds? It's an idea that's been around since the 1940s. Isaac Asimov even proposed it in science fiction in 1941. But Paul Jaffe, KJ4IKI, is the principal investigator in the U.S. Naval Research Lab, and this past Sunday, he launched a satellite that will help determine if solar power from space can actually be converted to microwaves and beamed down to Earth.
The main idea is that the sun is an enormous source of energy, obviously the largest source of energy in our solar system, and we do well to collect solar energy on the ground using solar panels. If there was an effective way to collect it in space and then send it for use on the Earth, that could be attractive.
Jaffe said that his ham radio background definitely plays into his current work.
There's quite a lot of areas of tie-in and I think interest, because certainly as a ham, I am more aware maybe than the average person about things like the radio spectrum and bandwidths and the competing interests that are trying to use radio spectrum and how spectrum allocation works. And for anything related to microwave power transmission, that's going to be a pretty big deal, because the amount of power that's required to effectively send energy wirelessly is a lot higher than is required for communications, right? So for a ham radio link or any communications link, the goal is to get a signal level above the noise so that you can get the message back.
Jaffe explained that he plans on having several months' worth of data to work with during the experiment once it starts flowing. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Ham Holiday, the much-anticipated annual conference of the Central Oklahoma Radio Amateurs, is taking its event online. The in-person meetup at the Oklahoma City Community College is being replaced with a move online to Zoom, and the goings-on will be streamed through YouTube. This is happening on July 24th and 25th, the same days as originally scheduled. Organizers said that additional details will be made public as they become available. Attendees can expect some new forums as well as old favorites. For updates, visit the website hamholiday.com. Meanwhile, the HamCon Colorado convention has been postponed until 2021. No new date has been announced yet, but Chairman John Maxwell W0VG said on the convention's website that organizers are working on refunding registrants. Looks like Mike Baxter, KA0XTT, star of the TV sitcom Last Man Standing, will be keying his mic again. The show has been renewed for a third season by Fox, which picked up the sitcom following its cancellation by ABC. The series, which is the network's most watched comedy, features Tim Allen, KK6OTD, as family man Mike Baxter, who is also an amateur radio operator. The popular program averages more than 8 million viewers across a number of platforms. Its producer is John Amadeo, AA6JA, who said the series would probably be back on viewers' screens in January. There are just a few days left to nominate a talented young amateur for Newsline's Young Ham of the Year Award. This honor is named for our newscast's late co-founder, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. Bill established the Young Ham of the Year Award in 1986. Nominate a deserving amateur 18 or younger living in the U.S. or Canada. Please remember that the submission deadline is May 31st. For details and this year's nomination form, visit our website, arnewsline.com. amateurradionewsline.org. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K4 GCC repeater in Cocoa, Florida, on Mondays at 7:30 p.m. after the LeeSats net. Sixty Meters is getting a lot of attention right now in Australia, and Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us why.
Hams in Australia have until Friday, June 19th, to share their comments on the authorised amateur use of 60 metres between 5351.5 and 5366.5 kHz. The Australian Communications and Media Authority, the nation's regulator, is considering four options, taking into account the issues between existing commercial and potential amateur users of the band. One option is to have no amateur use of the band at all. There is also an option to permit channelised use that would prevent interference to existing services. Another option would authorise the whole band across Australia, excluding Queensland and zones around existing transmitters. Finally, in a modified version of that option, nationwide access would be granted up to 5365 kHz, but exclude the top 1.5 kHz to mitigate against known sharing issues. Submissions can be made via an online form or emailed to freqplan@acma.gov.au. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The Army's $203 million order for upgraded wearable radios is being split by Collins Aerospace and L3Harris Technologies. Together, the companies are to deliver 3,440 radios and ancillary equipment in the first quarter of 2021. The orders, which are part of the Army's strategy to modernize its battlefield, will include upgrading of tactical satellite efforts, security forces, assistant brigades, and future deployments. There are seven new members in the CQ Amateur Radio Hall of Fame. CQ Magazine announced the inductees on Friday, May 15th, on what would have been the first day of Dayton Hamvention. They include four Silent Keys, legendary musician Chet Atkins, W4CGP, Oman's Sultan Qaboos bin Said, A41AA, propagation expert Les Barkley, G3HTF, and George Lauer, K4HZE, developer of the universal product code used in retailing. The other inductees are DXer and humanitarian Gasua Zoro Miyazawa, JH1AJT, DXpeditioner Champ Muangfanum, E21EIC, and amateur radio historian Tom Roscoe, K8CX. There are also new inductees into the CQ Magazine's Contest Hall of Fame. Here's Jim Dameron, N8TMW, with that report.
CQ Magazine's Contest Hall of Fame has three new members. They are Jeffrey Howard, W0CG/PJ2DX, who purchased and restored the PJ9JT contest station in 2000, making it available to guest operators, including youngsters in the Dave Calter Youth DX Adventure Program. The station was previously owned by another CQ Contest Hall of Famer, John Thompson, W1BIH/PJ9JT. Willard Myers, K1GQ, was also inducted. Bill designed the Cushcraft Skywalker series of monoband Yagis and was a pioneer in computer-based systems for designing and switching antennas at contest stations. He also played a major role in the 2014 World Radio Sport Team Championship. The third inductee is Gene Zimmerman, W3ZZ, who became a Silent Key in June of 2012. Gene was an accomplished HF contester and a well-known VHF contester. He served as QST Magazine's VHF editor for nearly a decade and was CQ Contest Magazine's VHF columnist. In 1999, Gene reinvented the CQ Worldwide VHF Contest, reshaping it into a 6 and 2-meter only event and a worldwide competition. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Members of the Young Ladies Radio League are grieving the death of a longtime member who was a pioneer among women in the engineering field. Dave Parks, WB8 ODF, has that story.
Teresa Marie Korn, K7JGU, was known as a pioneer in the engineering field and a lifelong amateur radio operator who was licensed at age 14 in 1941, making her the youngest amateur in the nation at the time. The Washington State resident died from COVID-19 on April 9th. She was an active member of the Young Ladies Radio League for 52 years. A World War II military veteran, she was also a member of the 99s, a global organization recognizing women in aviation. According to her obituary from the Heritage Memorial Chapel Funeral Home, she was the first woman accepted into the engineering program at Carnegie Tech, the forerunner of Carnegie Mellon University, and received her bachelor's degree in engineering in 1947, the first woman to ever graduate from the program. She later received a master's degree in electrical engineering from UCLA. She and her husband, Granino Korn, were the authors of numerous books used as reference by people in the computer industry. Teresa Korn was 93. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8 ODF.
An amateur radio operator known for his political activism and his presence on amateur radio and public radio has become a silent key. Herb Schoenbaum, KV4FZ, died on the 29th of April at his home in the Virgin Islands. He also had a keen interest in meteorology and weather prediction and would often contact amateur radio operators on surrounding islands to assess weather conditions. He was honored in 1980 by local lawmakers for helping out during Hurricanes Frederick and David. In 1990, his work during the advance of Hurricane Hugo earned him the Governor's Medal. He also worked as a communications specialist for the Virgin Islands Police Department from 1978 to 1992. His political activism was often controversial and landed him frequently in the headlines. He was a former state chairman of the Virgin Islands Republican Party and represented the party at the Republican National Convention. Herb Schoenbaum was 84. For our final story, we present the enthusiasm of one young radio operator in New Zealand who has scored quite a catch in his weekly gnat. Other hams around the world who share his youth and enthusiasm. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, shares his story with us.
On his personal webpage, Thomas Bernard, ZL3TOM, writes, "I love radios, computers, and technology. Nothing in this world stops me." Indeed, nothing in this world is stopping Thomas from sharing those three passions of his, radios, computers, and technology. Instead of stopping, he has picked up speed. Thomas is NET controller and organizer of the Young Transmitters NZNet. Despite having a name that is local to New Zealand, this is a welcoming net for young radio operators from around the world. The young hams have been meeting every Monday at 7 p.m. local New Zealand time, and participants check in via IRLP Ham Conference 9556 on EchoLink Conference Server 256883 or 69556. All star 48820 and 40452. The net is also accessible through DMR Talk Group 53029. In the latest edition of InfoLine, published by the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, Thomas writes about his hopes to link the world's youngest radio operators and tap into their enthusiasm. He writes, "My goal is to encourage people into the hobby and to help those who are new to amateur radio and want to have a place to be while helping others and giving the latest technology news." That's a formidable goal. There's no stopping him now. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
With thanks to Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, CQ Magazine, C4ISRnet.com, David Bihar, K7DB, Heritage Memorial Chapel, New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, QRZ.com, shortwaveradio.de, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO radio show, the Virgin Island Source newspaper, WTWW Shortwave, and your listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2020, all rights reserved.